Okay, so why is the normal distribution so important? One reason is that we want to compute interval estimates or confidence intervals. In opinion polls, you'll often see estimates qualified with an estimate of the likely deviation from the truth, such as 45% plus or minus 3% of the voters plan to vote for the LDP. The plus or minus 3% is 3 percentage points. That means that the estimate is that 42% up to 48% are estimated to be likely to vote for the LDP. This is not necessarily a prediction, of course, because people do change their minds before the election. But what it does is it reflects the fact that the sampling is imprecise. We don't necessarily get an exactly representative sample. And so we need to qualify this by saying plus or minus. And what that means, in particular in the case of an election where 50% is such an important number, or at least in a two-party system like the United States, if you have two candidates and the one who gets more than 50% wins, if the interval overlaps 50%, then there's a lot of uncertainty about who's going to win. So if we said 48% plus or minus 3%, this really is no different from 50%, which is a dead heat or a toss-up. So this kind of statement where we qualify with some possible deviation from the true underlying value is called an interval estimate or a confidence interval. So, where does the plus or minus 3% come from? Can we guarantee that alpha, the fraction of LDP voters, is truly in that range? Even ignoring the possibility that people will change their minds, suppose we are simply worried about exactly how many people are thinking about voting LDP now. Can we guarantee this? And the answer is no. As with the coin that gets tossed and comes up heads 100 times in a row, there could be 100 LDP voters in the whole country out of 100 million, or actually voters, I guess there are probably 60 or 70 or 80 million. And then we could happen to get exactly the 100 LDP voters, and the rest of the country is going to do something else. So we can't be sure. However, we can express this in probability-like terms, such as a 90% confidence interval. Why do I say probability-like? Because confidence here is not a probability. We talk about 90% confidence interval, but it doesn't represent a 90% probability. There's a true value out there, and it's either within our confidence interval or it isn't. We're either right or wrong. So talking about the probabilities is a very nebulous concept. What we can do is we can set up a specific hypothesis of our a specific hypothesis, and then use our model of the voting process or the polling process to compute the probability that we would be this wrong based on that hypothesis. So our estimate, our confidence interval, says that the mean is somewhere between 0.42 and 0.48, plus or minus 0.03. How do we go about computing a probability based on a range? Well, the answer is that we can't. our normal distribution, or all of our distributions, have single parameters. Our if we have a mean and we have exactly zero, then and a standard deviation of one, then we get a standard normal random variable. But if we have a mean somewhere between 0.5 and 1, we can't compute that. We can compute it for any value in between, but which one do we choose? This is the problem. So how do we compute a confidence interval? Well, we can say that we are 95% confident that alpha is smaller than 0.48, because if alpha were 0.48, the probability of alpha hat, that is, the number that comes up in the poll, being 0.45 or more, is 0.95. That's what we mean by saying 95% confident. We make the hypothesis and then we compute the probability of being as far away from the hypothesis as the actual observed data. And this computation is given by the picture that you see there. The number 0.45 alpha and the 45% that you see under the curve just happen to be the same in this particular case, because we chose the number 95%. The alpha of 0.45 on the horizontal axis would be the same, because our hypothesis is that in our polling we saw 45%. However, if we wanted a 99% confidence, then we would slide the whole normal curve off to the right until we had only 1% in the white part, the tail, that is just below 0.45 on the axis. So we're 95% confident that alpha is smaller than 0.48. Or we assess a risk of 5% that alpha is bigger than 0.48 because of the way we're doing this probability calculation. But remember, the probability calculation depends on the assumption of the upper bound of our interval. We assume the 0.48, and then we have a risk of 5% that we would get something as small as 0.45, and that's how we get the 95% confident that it's no bigger than 0.48. On the other side, we do the same thing, but now our hypothesis is different. Our hypothesis is 0.42, and we have 50% below that. We have 45% between there and 0.45 to get a 95% confidence. So we're 95% confident that alpha is larger than 0.42, because if alpha were 0.42, the probability of our poll result of alpha hat being 0.45 or less is 0.95 or 95%. Again, we have a risk of 5%, or we have a loss of confidence of 5% in the unshaded part under the green curve. So we're 90% confident that alpha is larger than 0.42, but lower than 0.48. And the reason for that is that the deviation probabilities, the orange shaded part on page 32, are equally 5%. We add those risks of being wrong of 5% plus 5% to get 10%. So our total risk of being wrong is 10%. And subtracting that from 100%, we have 90% confidence. So that's where our 90% confidence interval comes from. But note that in order to get the risk that the true value is bigger than 0.48, we had to assume that the true value was 0.48. To get the risk that the true value is less than 0.42, we had to assume that the true value is 0.42 and compute based on a normal curve like that. So in order to get a two-sided confidence interval like this, we need to make two separate assumptions which contradict each other. Not only are they different from each other, but they're on opposite sides of the observed value of 0.45. So we've calculated some hypothetical probabilities and come up with some risk estimates, but these numbers can't be interpreted as probabilities in the real world because we're making conflicting assumptions in order to calculate them. We don't have a consistent theory that allows us to interpret them as probabilities. Now, you've probably seen pictures like this for computing a confidence interval. And in fact, for the normal distribution, this actually works. The reason is that the normal distribution is symmetric. And so if you work things out carefully, you will see that the computations that you are doing are mirror images, but give the same answer. Now, think about what this picture says. In order for that to be the true probability distribution for alpha hat, the true value of alpha has to be what we actually observed. But, of course, that's our best bet because that's what we saw. So, it doesn't make a lot of sense to compute probabilities based on that if we're just going to take that as our guess anyway. Now let's see why computing the confidence interval this way is wrong. Suppose we have a skewed distribution. For example, consider the distribution of income. People can't survive on zero income, but they can have amazingly large incomes, not just okuen tani, but hyakuoken tani. But the average is somewhere in the neighborhood of Sambyakuman, I think, something, maybe Gohyakuman, maybe Nihyak Gojuman per year. So the upper tail of the distribution is much more spread out than the lower tail below the average. A typical distribution like this is the log normal distribution. And the picture here on page 34 is the log normal distribution. And each of them has the same standard deviation, which we estimate from the data, but then we compute our confidence interval in order to make sure that the risks above and the risks below are the same. So the orange shaded tall area is the risk that we estimated too high, and the orange shaded wide area is the risk that we estimated too low. But because the distribution is not symmetrical, these two have very different shapes, and the distance from the alpha of 10 in the middle to the upper estimate is relatively short, the distance to the lower estimate is very long. So this is asymmetric because the distances around the mean are different for the upper side and the lower side. And we do this in order to balance the risk of being, of estimating too high or estimating too low. Now, suppose we used the incorrect method of simply putting our distribution with the mean on top of the estimate. Then we would get something that looks like this, and our confidence interval, instead of going from minus 10 to plus 20, would go from 0 to plus 30, which is completely wrong, and in fact would subject us to a very, very large risk that our estimate was way too big. We would have quite a bit of risk that, in fact, the estimate, the true value, is between 0 and minus 10. And yet, we wouldn't predict that at all. We would predict it's greater than 0. In fact, here, it doesn't even go down as far as 0. It's about 2.5 or 3 or something like that. So, as long as you're using a normal distribution, your confidence intervals may reasonably be considered symmetric, and doing it the wrong way isn't going to hurt you very much. But you need to remember two things about confidence intervals. First, that confidence is not probability. You are either right or you're wrong. There's no probability about it. The confidence is an expression of a sort of subjective risk, but you need to remember that in order to compute an interval, you need to make different and contradictory assumptions to get the upper bound and the lower bound. And that should help you remember that this is not a probability, and you really shouldn't be computing with it as if it were probabilistic.